So the other day, I was making coffee, and I was hit with this sudden sense of dread. Now, something that you need to know about Tiffany and I is that we don't drink normal coffee. We don't drink regular coffee anyway. We drink, personally, I like my hot chocolate to have a little bit of coffee mixed into it. I can't drink coffee without some sort of creamer, without some sort of something to go along with it. I've tried before. I thought, you know, for a while I thought I'd get like four creamers and dump them in, and then I thought I could wean it back to three creamers and then maybe cut back to two creamers. About at the time I hit that two creamer limit, I was like, I just couldn't go down to one. So for those of you guys that are blessed with the ability to consume black coffee, God bless you guys. That is not a gift that God has given me. So when I'm making coffee a couple days ago then, and I have this sense of dread, it's because I've got all of the stuff out, you know, because we're making fancy coffee, it takes more steps, it's more involved. So I've got the chocolate in the cups, and I've got the espresso machine going, and I've got the coffee beans ground down, and all of these things, I'm all ready to go. And in fact, I even pour the first shot, get it mixed up, and then there's a voice in the back of my head. It's like, wait a second, there's something missing here. There's something that you forgot. And of course, I turn around, I walk over to the fridge, and we are out of milk. And everybody said, oh no! Some of you guys in here understand my pain. Some of you guys are like, yeah, milk is something you put on cereal, not really for a coffee. And that's fine. Either way, you can understand, you can relate to the idea of something being missing in your life. Maybe it's milk for your coffee. Maybe it's your car keys that you were running around looking for this morning. Maybe it's something else. Maybe there's a person in your life that used to be here and now you're missing them. And so you get these feelings like you take a bite of a sandwich and you realize you forgot to put mayonnaise on it or things like that, and you realize that there's just something missing in life. And a lot of us feel the same way when it comes to our prayer life. We know that prayer is important and we pray, but sometimes it feels incomplete. It feels like you're praying and your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling and falling down on you. We're saying the words, but is anything really happening? Is anything really transpiring when we do it? So today we're going to talk about what might be missing in our prayers and how the Holy Spirit can come and help fill in the gaps that we go through so that our prayers aren't just words, but they're a direct connection to the power of God. Truth is, I remember a season of my life, and I talked about this a little bit last week, when prayer felt more like duty than connection, where it felt like something that I just needed to do because it was the thing that I had always done. And there was definitely a point when I was in college, I was involved in an internship program. There was about 40 of us in the program, and we had prayer meetings all the time. Which meant not every prayer meeting was the most exciting and the most well attended. We would get up. I mean, every morning we would start with like a half an hour of prayer, and most of us are still wiping the sleep out of our eyes, and most of us are still trying to pray in between sips of coffee in order to get us going in the morning. And there are seasons in life where prayer feels more like it's just a duty, more it's like a thing that you have to do rather than this deep connection with God. But I've experienced other times in life where it was my lifeline, where it was my connection to God. It was a connection to a power source that was outside of me that strengthened me when I was weak, that gave me joy when I was burdened, that helped me through the hard times in life. And I want you guys to experience that type of connection, that type of prayer life today. So like I said, we've all experienced times in life when prayer felt difficult. Maybe it's because you didn't know what to say, or maybe it's because you feel like your prayers aren't making a difference. For some of us in here, we've been chasing after things, and we've even been praying for things, and we find ourselves coming up empty. Maybe you've been chasing success, especially those of you that are younger in here. You've been chasing success, relationships, purpose, But no matter what you achieve, no matter what things come to you, there's still an emptiness that you can't shake. For some of you in here, you've reached the milestones that you once dreamed about. You got married, you had kids, you bought a house, you got the promotion. All of these things have happened in your life, and all of the things that you were chasing for, you've started to tick them off the list, and yet you realize still that there's something incomplete in life. Some of you feel like maybe you've reached retirement age. You've got more time and freedom than you've ever had before. And because of that, you feel like life should be more satisfying, but you're left wondering and you're looking for that deeper sense of meaning and purpose. No matter where you are in life, whether you're striving for more, wondering why success hasn't satisfied you, or searching for deeper meaning, there's a common thread in a lot of our lives, and that is that something still feels missing. We try to fill our gaps with our own efforts, but true fulfillment doesn't come from what we achieve. Instead, true fulfillment comes from what we plant. And the question is today, are we planting those seeds of Spirit-led prayer in our lives? Because every Spirit-filled prayer is a seed that has the potential to grow into something beyond we could imagine. Last week, we challenged you guys, actually 2 weeks ago, we challenged you guys to read the Bible. We challenged you guys to spend a little bit of time every day devoted to reading the Bible. This last week, we challenged and asked you guys to take it a step further, not just to read the Bible, but to spend some time in prayer. And I'm curious, with a show of hands in here, how many of you guys were able to do that? During this week, at some point, you were able to spend some time reading the Bible, spending some time in prayer. We gave you these fancy bookmarks. You can hang on to these. You can keep going through them. You guys can put your hands down. It is encouraging to see how many of you guys spent time in prayer. And I'm guessing that if you continue this habit, you're going to continue to see things happening in your life. A couple weeks ago, we introduced the law of the harvest. And it's pretty simple. It goes like this. It says, every action is a seed. Every seed is a harvest. The harvest takes time. You don't get it all at once. And God is responsible for the growth. So every action is a seed. Every seed is a harvest. The harvest takes time. And God is responsible for the growth. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, God promised us that as long as the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. We see all throughout the Bible this metaphor of planting seeds in our life. And in Galatians, Paul challenges us that we can sow to please our carnal flesh, and in the end we will reap destruction. But if we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. And so we know these things to be true as far as the Bible goes, as far as the Word of God goes, and we can see it in action in our lives. But sometimes there's a hard time to draw those lines between the act of planting and then the waiting, and then waiting a little bit more, and then waiting a little bit more, and then waiting a little bit more. And then there's a little bud, right? Little thing that pops up in your life, and you're like, it's happening! And then you wait, and then you wait, and then you weed, and you water, and you pray for sun, and then you wait, and then you wait, and then you wait, and then you wait. And then finally, something starts happening. And you get this first crop, this first tomato on the vine, or the first apple on the tree, and you're like, wait a second, this is actually working. But the problem is, like in Galatians chapter 6, what we talked about a couple weeks ago, is that in that waiting, too many of us get discouraged. We don't see any apples on the tree, so we walk away from the tree. We stop tending to it. We stop pruning it. And because we don't see any fruit, we give up and we walk away. And what God wants from us is God wants us to recognize that everything we do is a seed, that every seed will produce a harvest, as He's promised, that the harvest takes time, and that ultimately it's God that is responsible for the growth. So today we're gonna dive into this topic again by looking at prayer and talking about how Spirit-led prayer can transform your life as you wait on the Lord. Last week, we talked about how prayer can feel intimidating. We looked at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, sometimes you don't even know what to pray for. You go into a situation, into a circumstance, the mountain looks so big in front of you that you're like, I don't even know how God could ever move this mountain. I don't know how to deal with it. I don't even know what to say to this mess. And so we feel intimidated, we feel overwhelmed, and we back down in our prayers because even God couldn't do that. Of course, we don't say that consciously, do we? Because we believe that with God all things are possible. But then we look at our lives and the circumstances that we're dealing with, and we say, God, could you possibly come through for me? And last week, what we talked about is how prayer isn't about perfect phrasing. Instead, it's about surrendering to the Spirit's guidance. It's about listening to the voice of God and then praying the things that He tells us to pray. And last week, we talked about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and how speaking in tongues can help us when we don't know what to pray for. We can pray in our prayer language. It's like our spirit is communicating directly with God's Spirit to encourage us, to bless us, and to see these things happen in our lives. So the seed then is Spirit-led prayer. Today we're going to look at what Spirit-led prayer can grow into. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The Holy Spirit is a seed, and He is a promise of power to those who receive Him. Because prayer isn't just a spiritual discipline, it's an access point to the power of God working in your life. Amen? Amen. Acts 1:8. You will receive power, the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the harvest that we see here is that when we spend time with the presence of God, when we spend time in the Spirit of God, that we will receive power and blessing in our lives. The Bible says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you receive the Holy Spirit by spending time with God. Because the context of that verse is Jesus telling His disciples, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, then this is what's going to happen to you. If you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to look at some of the promises that God gives us when we pray. I think what I really want us to hear today is that tonight, I mentioned it in the announcement video, tonight we're going to have a time of prayer. In fact, we're going to try and wrap up the sermon just a little bit early today so that even this morning we can spend some time down here at the altars and we can spend some time praying, because you've got things in your life that you need God to deal with. You've got things in your life that you need God to come through for, and God has promised to do it. God promises that when we come to Him in prayer, whatever we ask for, we will receive. And so we see these promises over and over and over again in the Bible, but for some reason, when we pray, we don't receive. I love that we're having Dr. Bradley Stewart come tonight, because he's going to talk a little bit more about this and about some of the ways that God speaks to us, because sometimes when we go to God in prayer, we don't know what His will is. So we just pray the things that we want to happen, and then God doesn't come through for us, and we're like, well, this prayer thing doesn't work, but it's because it wasn't in His will. All right, 1 John chapter 5 says, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. What He's saying here is that we can have a confidence. We don't have to feel like there's something missing. We don't have to feel like we're just going through the motions. He says we can have a confidence when we come to God. We can have a confidence when we come to Him in prayer, believing that He wants to come through for us. And we know, it says, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We're going to get back to that in just a minute. Mark 11, 22 to 25, Jesus says this. He says, have faith in God. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Everybody say, it will be done for them. Ready? It will be done for them. This is a promise that Jesus made to his disciples, that when you come to him in faith and you ask him, it will be done for you. He says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you've received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you of your sins as well. You see, God is waiting for you to pray because he wants to meet your needs. It doesn't matter what the mountain is. It doesn't matter the thing that's standing in your way. If we believe in a God that created the entire universe, all of the mountains in the world are nothing to him. And so when we come to him in prayer, we should believe that he's going to do it. We should have expectation, believing that he wants to come through for you. The Bible says that the seeds planted will produce a harvest. But we can't give up. We can't lose heart. This is a promise from Jesus himself. He wants to heal, he wants to save, and he wants to deliver you. You see, he says that God is a good father who wants to give good gifts to his children. Luke 11 says it like this. It says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? He says, if you then, fathers, even though you are evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? It's important for us to understand that God is a good father who wants to give good gifts to his children. What this means is that God is always going to do what's best for us. God is always going to do what's best for us. That doesn't always mean clearing out the traffic so you can get to work on time. Sometimes what it means is that you need to learn to set your alarm 5 minutes earlier so that you can get out the door on time. You need to make sure you put your keys in a certain spot so that you know where they are. Sometimes what it means is there is a growing that you need to go through. And it doesn't mean, I heard one preacher say it like this, and I always appreciated it. He said, imagine if God gave you everything that you asked for, and so you get on the interstate and you get stuck in traffic, or even somebody cuts you off and you're like, God, I want you to take care of him, and poof, you know, the Jeep is gone. And there's no more, they're like just completely eradicated, or their car breaks down, they have to swerve off to the side or whatever. Imagine the chaos of God giving us everything that we ask for all the time. It as a parent, looking at my kids, I can see the folly in that. I can see the foolishness of that idea, where if every time one of my kids came up and asked me for candy, there would be no control in the house. There would be no peace in the house. There would be no love in the house. It would be yelling constantly. It would be chaos. The only time we would have any peace would be the times when they asked to watch TV. And that's because then they're just, you know, zombies checked out in front of the TV. They would only ever eat popcorn. They would only ever eat, well, chicken nuggets actually are a staple in our house. So they would probably eat chicken nuggets, but you guys know how chicken nuggets are processed. So that's not always a good thing either. They would never go to school. They'd never read. They'd never learn anything. They would always be dependent on me for everything because I gave them whatever they asked. So they never had to learn. They never had to grow. They never had to get better. And so it's important for us to remember when we go to God in prayer that God is a good God who wants to give good gifts to his children. And sometimes that gift is learning to set your alarm clock. Sometimes that gift is learning how to organize your life better so that you can be places on time. Sometimes that gift is learning to say, I'm sorry, when there's tension in a relationship. Sometimes that gift is us going to somebody and having the hard conversation and doing the difficult things And that is a gift that God gives us. Of course, he says here that if we pray according to God's will, right? This was going back to that 1 John. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And how do we know what the will of God is? Well, we talked about it a couple weeks ago, didn't we? But it's in the Word of God that we know and we discover and we find out what the will of God is for us. And what we do when we read the Word is we hold it up. The Bible says, this is going back to our first sermon in this series, but we hold the Word of God up like a mirror in front of us. And we examine ourselves against it. And we say, God, I'm anxious all the time. God, I'm stressed all the time. God, my life is a mess. I need you to help me. And then we hold up the Word of God that says that we can have peace in any circumstance, that says that we can have joy even in mourning, that says that we can have strength when we learn to rest in Him. And we're like, wait a second, I want strength. I want to learn to rest in God. And so we start to see then how all of these things fit together, that when we come to Him and we begin to pray to Him according to His will, then those seeds that we planted will grow up. And those seeds that have been planted will continue to make a difference in our lives. We said that the seed is the Spirit-led prayer. The harvest is the power and blessing that comes through that prayer. The transformation then, or the time that it takes, the journey that we go on, is about journeying in the Spirit. If we find ourselves in a place where we're frustrated because God promised to respond, I'm holding up the Word of God. It says, have faith in God. It says, anything that you ask for in my name, I will do for you. And I'm asking and God's not doing it. And if we're holding up the Word of God like a mirror and trying to examine our lives, we might find ourselves in a place where we're asking God, God, you promised and you're not coming through. God, you promised and I don't see the results of the promise. And if you want to know more about that, come back tonight, because Dr. Bradley Stewart is going to be talking about that. But just really quick, the solution to the question, the answer to the question, is found in going back to the source, the one who has the answer. It's going back to God, saying, God, I'm looking at your word. My life circumstances don't match up to what I expected to see in your word. God, why is that? And then going deeper in your prayer time. God, what is it about this situation that I can change, that I can do differently, that I can make a difference in? And when you start doing that, it's almost like, for some of us, it's almost like we go to our Father and we ask Him for candy and He says no. And then we're like, okay, fine. And then we go back later and we're like, no. We ask Him for candy again. He says no again. And then we go back later, we ask Him for candy, and He says no again. And finally, we're like, you promised me candy, and you're not coming through with the candy that you promised. Why can't I have the candy? And that why question is so powerful. It's good to go to God in faith, and if you don't see the things come to pass, it's good to pause and to have peace in those moments. But sometimes you need to go to God with a little bit of frustration, with a little bit of holy anxiety, with a little bit of passion in your prayers to say, God, why aren't you coming through for me? I asked you for candy, you said no. I asked you again, you said no. I asked you again, you said no. God, why can't I have the candy? And God looks back at you as if it's too close to your bedtime. We'll do it tomorrow, right? And then you understand. Then you know. And what the Bible says is that we should not be anxious for anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all knowledge, will guard your hearts in Christ Jesus. That peace comes through getting the answer to the question of what you're going through. Sometimes God says yes, and that's amazing. Sometimes God says no, and we need to dig deeper. Sometimes God says wait. And that's okay too. And when we find ourselves in these situations where it's either a no or a wait, we need to ask God why. God, what's going on? What is there deeper below the surface? Is there something inside of me that needs to change? Or is there another circumstance outside of me that needs to change too? We know that there's a spiritual realm. We know that there's a battle happening over our lives and in our families. And we know that sometimes there are spiritual forces at work. We also know that sometimes there are bosses and there are people in our lives that have malicious intent. And God can reveal those things to us when we go to Him in prayer. And so we want to take our prayers a little deeper to begin to ask the question, God, why are these things happening? You see, praying in the Spirit isn't a one-time event, but instead it's a lifelong journey of transformation. It's a lifelong journey of asking God for things, waiting for His response, and then either if it's a yes, rejoicing, and if it's a no, asking why, because we want to be better. And God wants to hold up that mirror to us so that we can see the ways that we need to improve. Spirit-led prayer, then, will build our faith, it reflects God's glory, and it renews our heart and our mind in Him. If I could have the worship team go ahead and join me up on stage, we're going to spend some time in prayer right now. Because for some of you in here, you're feeling that tension that there's something missing in your life. And what I want to ask you again today is, are you planting the seeds of Spirit-led prayer? And the reason that I keep using that distinction of Spirit-led is because I don't want to just go to God in prayer, ask Him for something, and then walk away. But I want to go to Him, ask Him, and then really ask Him what is the right question? What is the thing that I need to ask? I was reading a book yesterday, and it had this quote from Albert Einstein in it. He said, if he had an hour to solve a problem, he would spend the first 55 minutes trying to figure out the right question to ask, because he believed that he could solve any problem inside of 5 minutes if he just knew the right question. And for a lot of us in here, that's where the disconnect is. When we don't know what we're supposed to be asking, when we don't know what we're supposed to be changing, we keep going to God and asking Him for candy, and He keeps saying no, and we're like, all right, and we just get frustrated, we get irritated, we start to throw a fit. We're like, okay, this prayer stuff doesn't work, and we drop our Bibles and we walk out the door, and we're like, okay, it just must not be for me, right? Everybody else can have this great connection with God, but I can't because there's something about me that's wrong or bad. Man, even take that to God and ask Him, because God wants to make a difference in your life. As a church, I want you to imagine what could happen if we all committed to planting seeds of Spirit-led prayer. What if every prayer that we prayed was empowered by the Holy Spirit? Every small group that we went to was led by people that were listening to the Spirit. Every time we connected with a ministry team, we were engaged in not just handing out a program, but praying over the people that were handing a program to. What if God was always directing and guiding our lives? What if every prayer was empowered by the Spirit, aligning with God's will and bringing about His purposes? Well, we would see transformation in our lives, in our families, in our church, in our community. We would see transformation everywhere. So if you're in here today and you feel like there's been a disconnect, you feel like there's been something missing in your prayer life, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and just to spend some time with your Father. For some of you in here, you know that there's a mountain in your path and you need God to move it. And you've been struggling over it. You've been battling it. Some of you guys have been dealing with the same mountain for years. I want you to begin asking that question, God, why? God, what is happening? What's beneath the surface that is causing this to happen? But before we get to those, I want to give an opportunity in here. For some of you, you don't have a relationship with God. And you need that connection. You need to start that relationship with Him. If you're in here today and you felt distant from God, maybe you haven't been in church for a while, you're just coming back, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. If you're watching us online, there's going to be a link that pops up in the chat. Make sure to click that link because we want to follow up with you. What we're going to do though is I'm going to, if I could just have all of the Christians in here, just go ahead and start to pray right now, because I believe that God wants to speak to some people's hearts. And Father God, I just ask that your Spirit would move right now, Lord. God, that you would tear down the walls that would hold people back. God, that you would reveal to people, God, and show people their need for you, God, and their need to have a relationship with you. God, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross so that we might be able to come back to you. And God, we just ask that, Lord, now you would call your children. God, that they would come back to you in Jesus' name, Lord. If you're in here today and you want to accept Jesus into your heart, you want to receive this free gift of salvation that God has for you, I'm going to count to three and I'll have you guys go ahead and raise your hand. Ready? 1, 2, 3. If that's you in this place, just go ahead and raise your hand high. See a couple of hands here. You guys can go ahead and put your hands down. Anybody else? Anybody else in here? Just want to pause for another minute. Father God, you've seen these hands today, Lord, and I pray that God, you would give them that closeness with you that they are longing for. God, I pray that Lord, they would continue to grow in their relationship with you, and God, that they would find their wholeness and their contentment, their joy in you. Lord, we just thank you for these things in Jesus' name, Father God. So now what we want to do is we want to open up these altars and we want to give you a chance to come forward and pray. I'm going to have a couple prayer team members off to the side over here, off to your left. If you want specific prayer for something, go ahead and come down here. Otherwise, why don't you guys go ahead and stand to your feet, and if you want to come down and just spend some time with God, go ahead and come forward at this time. And worship team, why don't you guys go ahead and lead us today.